This is High Times Dark Crimes. I'm Chris.
I'm Nat. And we're gonna get pretty dark today.
We do have some business to attend to today. We want to let you know that our Patreon is currently up and running.
Woo!
So if you would like more content, a shout out, to talk to us, request episodes, then you should join our Patreon like our listener Ray did. Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Ray.
There are two levels that you can sign up for. One is the Pill Poppers, which is $3 a month, and then Meth Monsters are $5 a month. Go ahead on Patreon and check it out and see if one of these tiers matches what you are looking for.
Nice.
Also, many of you have noticed that our episode 2 is missing. That episode is for our patrons. If you are wondering what those extra episodes are about, episode 2 is about Pedro Lopez, the monster of the Andes. He is thought to have killed up to 350 young girls, and currently no one knows where he is. It's an intense story, and we hope that you enjoy it.
Yeah, it is. It's a really good episode, too. And also, Happy Pride Month!
Happy Pride Month! Yay!
But also, I should say, to my beautiful wife, I love you so much. Hi, I'm very gay for you. Okay, bye. Happy Pride. But we have triggers. This episode includes average stuff.
The average.
Cannibalism, rape, child abuse, and bestiality. So we're going to have another good time.
Another good time.
And if you don't know much about bestiality or cannibalism, go listen to our other episodes before this one, where we delve deep.
Very, very deep.
Uncomfortably deep.
All right. So welcome to episode 5. This is going to be our third and final installment of What the Fuck Germany Cannibal Edition. Today's feature is Joachim Kroll. Honestly, a victim of society turned monster by the harsh times of an unpredictable era. Unlike our other episodes, we actually got more information on the victims that we plan on sharing with you.
Hmm.
On April 17th, 1993, a monster was born in Hindenburg, Cilicia? Anyway, it's
S-I-L-E-S-I-A.
It's now Zambrzyce, Poland. He was the youngest child of 8 and the son of a coal miner. The entire family lived in a 2-bedroom flat, and they lived in complete poverty. His father was a domineering man, and Joachim's siblings would continue to throw him under the bus for the trouble that they got into. Joachim was sent to a special needs school, but was still being picked on by a lot of the other students.
And then at age 10, he was drafted into Hitler's youth. Yay! But he never ended up fitting in with the other kids. Joachim was noted as being weak and would wet the bed up until his teenage years, which isn't like an abnormal thing, turns out.
So I mean, I don't think that it is.
Yeah, so don't bully people. He was also allegedly abusing animals at this time. Both are components of the McDonald Triad. The McDonald Triad links cruelty to animals, obsession with fire setting, and persistent bedwetting past a certain age to violent behaviors, particularly homicidal behavior and sexually predatorial behavior. However, this certainly isn't a requirement, of course, to be considered a violent predator. You can do all these things and still be a normal person, except for don't abuse animals.
Yeah.
Fuck
not that. The animal part.
Not the animal part.
That's weird.
But the bedwetting part, that's fine.
I mean, maybe don't set fires everywhere either, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I did, and I turned out fine. During World War II, his father was drafted into the German army and was subsequently captured by the Russians. He never came home.
Oh.
No, his dad, yeah, was a casualty of war.
Sad.
Yeah. Money was exceptionally tight for most living in Nazi Germany at the time, and the Krolls were no exception. In 1947, his family escaped the East, which was now communist, and settled in North Rhine-Westphalia. He was a mama's boy and secretly obsessed with sex. But he was afraid of the ladies, you know, the wedbedding and all. Or bedwetting.
The wedbedding.
Oh, man. Two totally different things.
Oh, like wedding bedding.
Yeah. He did not get wedding bedding.
Wah, wah, wah.
Wah-wah. Spoiler alert. He dropped out of school after the equivalent of a third or fourth grade education. At that point, he was 15. He was considered mentally challenged, having an IQ of only 78.
That's kind of sad, though.
Yeah.
Not his fault.
Kinda sad. Yeah, definitely not his fault. But he should have been able to know right from wrong. But anyway.
Yeah, that's neither here nor there. Kroll did have a special lady for a period of time. He felt awkward and inadequate with women sexually, and he decided that this encounter was a failure and dreamt of someone that could not complain about his performance, i.e. performance anxiety, i.e. insecurities.
I'm sure that sex was very awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it is at first.
Yeah, especially if this is his first time. I mean, whose experience isn't awkward? Mine was incredibly awkward.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I made him get up, put his clothes on, and run to the store and get a condom because he was too stupid to have any around.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Come on. That's a mood killer to not have a condom. Not that I would know as a lesbian. Go Pride Month. But
they still have things that you can use.
Finger condoms.
Yeah, we have them at work.
Anyway, there was one note of him taking a woman to the movies, but at some point during the date, he prematurely ejaculated.
Poor guy.
So that's unfortunate. And the date ended. And this led to a lot of girls teasing him. Joachim became deeply depressed after his mother passed away in February of 1955. She was, after all, his everything. He had lost the only person who ever loved him. He became a lifelong chronic masturbator and started taking long walks at night, which is a kind of a hard turn from my mother died. But
it really escalated.
You know, people grieve in different ways.
My mom died. I'm going to just masturbate all the time. I don't know. I will say that I have not lost my mother, so I don't know the feeling.
I have lost my mother in a different way.
That's true.
But I am asexual, so I don't think it really counts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In his adult life, Kroll wasn't a pretty boy. He was described as a short, stooped, having thick glasses, hunched posture. He looked like a goblin in Grimm's fairy tales. He began to work as a farmhand and would watch the slaughtering of pigs.
Why is that a thing that keeps happening?
They really like to watch it.
Ooh.
But this is what awakened his sex drive.
He was already masturbating about his mother's death, though.
Yeah, but I think this, like, was different.
Oh.
Like, you know, how he would look at a lady and then he'd accidentally prematurely ejaculate. And then this, he was like, oh, I'm really into this.
No.
I don't know.
All right. Never mind.
So after he started spiraling out of control, really it was right after his mother's death in 1955 that Ingerd Strell, at the age of 19, was walking to a friend's house in the village of Wallstead. Kroll took this as an opportunity and strangled her into submission and dragged her to a nearby barn.
Oh.
So this was his first victim. She was discovered the next day, raped and strangled to death with her abdomen slit open.
Oh, wow.
He's, yeah.
Like, jumping right into it.
Like, he did not
want
to settle down. He was just ready.
Damn.
Like, my mom died. I'm going to kill all the other women.
Jesus.
Oof. She was in the early stages of pregnancy.
Oh.
And she had been strangled with her own bra.
Oh.
And even the rape was post-mortem.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. After raping the deceased, he made a habit of masturbating over their corpses and then going home to pleasure a sex doll while choking out a small child's doll. Fun note, at that crime scene, he also had to poop, so he just did it right at the crime scene. Yeah. Like, now you would never think of doing that because they'd find your DNA.
Yeah.
So, or at least I would assume you could find DNA in poo.
I don't even know how to process this.
Like, why?
Oh, I'm just going to murder someone, rape their dead corpse. Oh, crap. I got to go. I'm just going to poo in the bushes over here. Go in the corner of this
grab
barn.
A leaf. So this was a lot for him. So he ended up taking a cooling off period of about 1 year. Oh. And what helped him be able to take this cooling off period were blow up sex dolls.
Okay.
So about a year later, Erica, Schuletter was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. She was from Kirchhellen. He raped and strangled her.
Oh. And here is when he moves to Duisburg.
I think so.
To start work as a bathroom attendant, which is boding very well considering his poo experience.
Yeah.
He took about 2 years to adjust to his new life before he began to kill again. He hunted at the usual places, public trains and buses and that side of thing.
So now we're on to June 16th, 1959. A woman named Clara Frieda Tesmer, who was 24 years old, was stabbed to death. And it was very similar to the first murder. She was found naked a day after the murder by five boys out riding their bikes.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And then this was the first victim to have flesh removed from her body.
Oh.
Her buttocks and thighs had been removed, and Yoakum brought them home and allegedly cooked them up for dinner.
Sounds about right for us.
I just don't, like, it still goes so fast. Like, this is his third victim, and he is already like, I'm hungry. I'm just going to go ahead and cook up some butt steaks.
And this is 1959, and everything started in 1955. Like, this is flashing by.
Yeah.
Good gravy.
And still, nobody knows about him.
Ugh.
They don't have a clue.
We aren't sure why Yoakum decided to dive into the world of cannibalism, but ended up enjoying it so much that he would size up his victims and make sure that they looked tender. The buttocks, thighs, and belly were his favorite areas to snack on. After he was caught, the media was invited to come with so Yoakum could show the police exactly how he murdered Clara. These photos can be found online and are truly sickening. Have you seen them?
Yeah. So
No.
I can't remember how it went, where if he wanted the media to be there or if the media just found out and they were like, we're following this dude. But they asked him to obviously go to the sites where the people had been buried. And they were like, okay, can you just show us what happened? And he went over and did all the poses. And media just took a hold of it.
Wow.
Crazy amounts of pictures and did tons of stories.
Wow.
And it's just a picture of him, like sprawled out over a bunch of grass looking up. And I'm pretty sure that he even used another person as a quote-unquote dead body.
I would not want to be that other person.
Right? Like...
Mm-mm.
I would be dead.
A mechanic named Heinrich Ott was actually arrested for the murder that he didn't commit. And unfortunately, he ended up hanging himself while he was awaiting trial. So that sucks.
And that's the first of many. There were many other people that were either convicted or accused of Kroll's crimes. And Kroll didn't.
That's so terrifying.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, I don't remember when, because the death penalty is still around. Right?
I don't know specifically, because this is Poland now that we're in.
Oh, that's right.
So I'm not quite sure when the death penalty stopped in Poland or if it did.
Yeah.
But he didn't, spoiler alert, he didn't end up getting the death penalty. So.
Oh. Wow. Spoiler.
He deserved it.
Yeah.
Well. Whatever you want to think about the death penalty.
Yep.
Yeah. But he didn't receive it, so.
Gosh.
Then on July 26th, 1959, Manuela Knott, 16 years old, she was raped and strangled. When the body was discovered, it was clear that she was missing several chunks of flesh from her thighs and buttocks. And this was in Breleni, south of Essen.
Gosh.
For the fifth murder, we're also going to have somebody that was falsely accused. The girl is Petra Gies. She's 13 years old.
Mm.
Her body was found on April 23rd, 1962 in Walsum. He sliced off both buttocks, her left forearm, and her right hand.
Oh my gosh, that's so gross. It's and I just don't want to know why he cut off the right hand, because he definitely didn't. I mean, that's not going to have a lot of good meat on it.
That comes up again. Sorry.
Damn it, Chris. And unfortunately, this time a steel worker was accused of the crime. He was arrested and released because they had no evidence of the crime committed. His neighbors are still convinced he did it. His wife eventually divorced him, and he later ended up taking his own life.
There's so many additional victims.
Yeah.
Of his crimes.
Not just like what he physically did, but, you know, the lives that were affected around it.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck murder.
Yeah.
If we haven't said that enough in the podcast, fuck murder.
Fuck murder. I don't think we've said fuck murder before.
Fuck murder. Don't do it. Stop.
It's bad for you.
Bad for you. Bad for your friends. Bad for your neighbors. Bad for your partnerships.
Oh, definitely bad for your partnerships, because you can't always have sex in prison. I mean, well,
you can't always have sex in prison.
Maybe with your celly, but not with your significant other.
With your celly.
Please tell me you know that term.
It's like your cellmate, but like, hey.
I'm pretty sure that's what they call them, or cellies.
I don't know.
I have watched enough Lock Up to know these things.
What's Lock Up? Is that a show?
Oh my God.
Well, I guess it has to be a show. You said watch it.
Yes. I watched Lock Up. It's a show. They go to a bunch of American prisons, and then they go across the world, too. And they just show you what they're like.
And they talk about, like, they're cellies?
Yeah. Well, some of them do.
Cellies in their willies?
I don't want to hear about their willies. That's gross.
That's good. I don't want to talk about their willies.
Ew. Willies are gross.
What?
So now, number six. So he just has to keep going. He didn't take much of a cooling off time this time, since it had only been 2 months since the last victim. Still in Walsum, so he's not even traveling as much like he normally does. Her name is Monica Taffel. She's 13 years old.
Ugh.
And she vanished on her way to school.
No.
She was found with similar cuts to her buttocks and thighs.
That's just heartbreaking. Like, imagine being the parents. And, like, not only was your child murdered, but someone took their ass.
Yeah, they took their ass.
Of your child. And ate it.
I hate that. It's very weird.
Ugh. And at this time, a 32-year-old pedophile named Walter Quicker.
The Quicker Picker-Upper.
Quicker.
I had to say it.
Oh, my gosh. He was arrested for the murder. He was eventually released, but the town drove him out, and he committed suicide as well.
So
not the laugh about the suicide thing, but driving out a pedophile is fine.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Get him out.
Bye.
Bye. On to number seven.
Jesus. Man, this is like endless murder.
It is really endless. And then this is again in 1962. So we're in July. But this time he decided to commit the murder in Burscheid. Her name is Barbara Bruder. She was 12 years old. So there were no signs of mutilation on her body. So I don't know if maybe she or he got cut off, or wasn't hungry. Maybe he had enough meat already in his freezer from the other two he committed that year.
Maybe like 12 was his limit. Like 13, he'd eat 13, but 12 is like too young.
No, he eats much younger.
No.
You could have read the script first.
I'm distressed. I like going in with surprises. I want to be surprised by everything. And I am very unfortunately surprised.
He'll just keep surprising you.
No, I don't want to.
And so again, seventh murder. At this time, police are starting to be suspicious of a murderer. Maybe there's a serial killer in these there
woods.
Seems
like there's been about seven victims that have all had their butt taken off, but I I don't think they're connected.
No, they couldn't be connected.
No way.
No.
I'm going to do some sleuthing. There's a pedophile down there. I'm going to go chat him up.
So Yoko must have heard about this because he decided to go dormant for the next 3 years. Or he had enough meat in his freezer.
Oh, yeah.
Blah. There's also a documentary on him. I don't remember. I'll have to look at the bottom of the page. But it was the cops. So it was the cops' version of this. And it makes them look like such heroes and blah, blah, blah. Oh. And the lead guy's like, and then we did this. And then we did this. And I'm so glad that we got this killer. Like, the police had nothing to do with it.
Oh, my gosh.
Other than they, like, put out flyers. Fuckers. So he couldn't hold himself back any longer. So in August 1965, he went to Lover's Lane. And do you know what Lover's Lane is?
I know what Lover's Lane is.
I had to ask, just in case. You didn't know what lockup was.
Okay.
So he liked to watch couples and masturbate in the bushes.
Ugh.
But this time, he wanted more. Herman Schultz and Marion Veen were in the vehicle doing their thing, and he went and punctured the tire and waited to pounce like a motherfucking animal.
Ugh.
Yoakum stabbed Herman to death, and when he tried to go get Marion, she managed to drive away to get help. When police arrived, Yoakum was gone, and Herman was pronounced dead at the scene.
Ugh. That's... Actually, you know what? I think I've heard of that.
It's a tale or whatever. My dad used to tell me when I was little, because like all stories are just can't.
Cautionary. Spooks.
That there was a man and he had a hook for a hand and he would go to Lover's Lane and he would... go to try to, you know, kill these couples or do whatever. And a couple ended up getting away, but the hook left a mark going down the side of the car. Like, super creepy, don't go to Lover's Lane type shit. Actually like an actual myth or whatever.
I saw it in Supernatural. It's like in the first season.
I remember that now. I forgot. You watched Supernatural. I'm super excited.
I've seen something.
I'm proud of me. It's an actual thing. He lasted a year until September 13th, 1966. He needed to apparently fill his freezer again. Ursula Rowling was the victim. She was raped. And strangled. And this was in Forester Bush Park near Marl. Number 10 was December 22nd, 1966. So didn't really give a whole lot of time. Like 3 months. This was Ilona Clark. Or Hark, I'm sorry. She was 5 years old.
No!
And this is part of, I think, why, and you'll see later on, too, his victims are going to be all different backgrounds, all different ages.
Oh, my gosh.
And so that was one of the reasons that police said that they had a hard time figuring out who it was. Also, they were mostly in different locations. So, I mean, police don't talk to each other because... why would they?
Yeah.
So they don't go to the next town and be like, hey, do you have anybody with their butts missing?
This murder was different. Not only because he drowned Ilona, but because Yoakum went out of his way to bring her into the woods and take his time with her without interruptions. He took flesh from her buttocks and shoulder. When he was describing this crime to the police officers, he told them that he ate his victims to reduce his grocery bill, which is a theme.
Mm-hmm.
Theme number two.
No one wants to spend money on meat.
Nope.
His next victim, thankfully, was not murdered. This was at the end of 1976, so we're really kind of going forward here. But just to kind of give more happy vibes, I guess, that yay, she wasn't murdered. Her name was Gabrielle Puetman. She was lured in with the promise of bunnies.
Aww.
She was 10 years old. Yoakum brought her, or I'm sorry, brought pornographic photos and tried to show her. But luckily, she was able to run away. She did go to authorities, but Kroll fled before the authorities arrived.
10-year-old gets lured by bunnies is, like, so sad. But I'm really glad she got away.
Yeah. But what a dick.
Yeah, what
hey,
a dick.
Do you want some bunnies? What, like, what 10-year-old would be like, no.
Dude, when I was, like, 10, probably, yeah, 10, I think, I used to play in the bushes and eat carrots and pretend I was a bunny. That's how I met one of my first friends.
When my sister was little, my parents would ask her, what are you going to be when you grow up? And she would go, a bunny.
Nice. Is she a bunny?
She's a mom.
Oh, you do you, boo.
I told her that she had to put our episodes to her belly so her baby could listen and be able to recognize my voice. Mm-hmm. And I said, specifically, you need to do the first episode so your baby can learn not to do PCP.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that that was ridiculous. I don't get it. So we're going to jump back to July 1969. So he had taken basically another 3-year break, and he went out of whack this time. So Maria Hetgren, she's 61 years old.
Jesus, really different.
Yeah, really different. She was found strangled and raped. She was sodomized post-mortem, which I don't believe was something that he would normally do. And also, she was older, so I can't imagine that they would have initially linked this to the same murders as before.
Yeah.
But also, I don't think he took any meat from her, I think, because she was 61.
Man, he's really just going random.
Yeah.
Just convenience sake.
Yeah. And part of the discussion in some of the articles was his IQ really 78, or was he smarter in knowing to go to different cities and having different victims and doing different things at the crime scene so that police wouldn't put it together? So,
yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
I hope not, but that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Next one was Jetta Ron. She was 13 years old. She was raped and strangled by chance. He wasn't even looking to murder that day. She was just walking home from school. She took a shortcut that day, and Yoakum took this opportunity to take advantage of her. And this was in Brightsheed.
And worst part, she did have a boyfriend. He was 13 years old, and of course, he was accused and arrested and spent 15 months in prison. He was released and fled to Belgium to start over.
I couldn't find any information on him, so at least he got out of there.
Yeah, but 13 years old, that's so sad.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Ugh.
And then he ended up taking a break for 6 years.
And that is about the time he was having issues with his veins and his legs, and he had to have surgery. And this left him likely with crippling pain and certainly kept him closer to home.
So now he couldn't travel. Oh. He's limited.
Now it's narrowing down.
So we're on to number 13. Another one, Karen Topfer, 10 years old, was on her way home from school. And this was in Dinslakenvoort. So I'm not sure how close that was to where he was. But again, raped and strangled.
Ugh, and they're all getting so young.
They're so young.
So young.
It's just heartbreaking.
Ugh.
And this next one's really, really difficult to hear.
Okay.
Just a forewarning. On July 3rd, 1976, Marion Ketter, she's 4 years old. Aww. She was a neighbor of Kroll's. She looked up to him and called him Uncle Kroll.
No!
So Yoakum was like, hey, Marion, do you want to come in and have some chocolate? And of course, Uncle Kroll, she's gonna say yes, brought her in. And he tried to rape her, but she kept screaming. So he decided to strangle her and raped her anyway. He dismembered her, leaving the choice cuts in the fridge and stuffing her lungs and organs down the toilet. He then put a pot on the stove and placed one of her hands in the pot along with other vegetables.
Ugh. A four-year-old's hand in a pot.
Four-year-old's hands are very small.
Yeah.
Like, is this... you're getting less meat than a chicken wing. Like, what's the point? Why? I don't understand why he's doing this.
This guy's a sick motherfucker.
Yeah.
Just 4 years old, and she was, like, his neighbor and, I guess, friend?
I don't know. I think it's just that...
She liked him.
She liked him. He was nice to her. I mean, he originally knew better not to, well, not to rape where you live. I don't know.
Jesus, hell. Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
A janitor that worked at this apartment building that Kroll lived in noticed that something was clogging the pipes. Stumped, the janitor asked around to see who was flushing what. He went to Kroll's apartment and asked what he was flushing, to which he replied, guts, and shut the door. The janitor then called the police to report what Kroll had told him. And in the kitchen, a tiny eviscerated corpse lay under the kitchen table, and there was blood everywhere. There were chunks of flesh cut from her buttocks. The officers looked into the pot on the stove only to discover the hand of the girl boiling away. Pieces of human flesh were stored in the freezer. The apartment smelled of sweat and unwashed linen, and it didn't help that the apartment was small and cramped, and I'm sure stuffy as hell.
Yeah.
Sex dolls were just hanging out around the apartment, along with sex toys and pornos.
Yeah, so he let the officers right in, and he didn't think that he was doing anything wrong. Had no idea.
Maybe he was just like, you know what, I'm done with the anxiety of all these lies. I'm just going to turn myself in after this big bang.
Oh, that's definitely not what it was. Because he was also noted saying that he enjoyed rape and murder, so why shouldn't he be allowed to do it?
Oh my gosh, go fuck yourself.
So he really did not understand anything. He didn't understand that murder was wrong and eating human flesh is bad for your health. He said, like we said before, that he ate flesh to save on grocery bills, and he eventually developed a taste for it. He remembered the 14 murders that we went over, but there could have been more. The police were noted as saying, we intended to charge him with as many unsolved murders as possible.
Jesus. So just like anything they can get their hands on, he did it.
Yep. Like, thanks, police officers. And that was in that documentary.
That's kind of like... I mean, I get, like, I mean, if there are people with their butts off, then probably I think that's reasonable. But if they're just murdered, then I don't think that's really just, I mean, there's more than one murder on the world at a time.
I just think that, I mean, he had an IQ or was listed as having an IQ of 78. He's obviously very impressionable.
Yeah.
He could, I mean, the police officers could have just been like, hey, what about this girl? You killed her, didn't you? And I can only imagine that he would be like, yep, I did that.
Yeah, because, why wouldn't he? Especially if his IQ is that low.
Yeah.
Ugh.
He wouldn't know any better. I mean, he already knew that he wanted to kill and that's what he was going to do.
Yeah.
It wasn't wrong to him, so.
Gosh.
Police also said that he was noted or that he was, talking to a wall. That he just wasn't really very responsive, I think.
I feel like that's a little bit more of a... I don't know. More than just low IQ, that sounds a little more crazy city.
Yeah.
Though I do talk to myself a lot.
I do too.
I don't murder people, though.
No.
Standards are low.
Police also said that some of his memories seemed to be mixed up between different cases.
Ooh.
He thought that he was just going to receive a slap on the wrist for all the murders because, after all, he told the police about the funny feelings that he got from the crimes. And those funny feelings, he initially said that he had got from watching the pigs being slaughtered. Then the little girls or the older women gave him those same funny feelings.
Mm.
So... he wanted to basically just be like, this is what happened. Cure me. He thought that there was a procedure that would cure his homicidal tendencies and then he could be released back to the public as a cured man.
Man, that'd be great.
Like, hi, doctor, I'm going in for depression. Can you make it go away, please? And then you go in and just, zap, your depression is gone. And you walk out like you're missing $15,000 or something. But because this is America.
Then $15,000 is not enough for that type of a procedure. Let's be real.
But his trial started in 1979 and went until 1982.
Jesus.
So that was a long one. He was found guilty on 8 counts of murder and 1 attempted murder. He was sentenced to life in prison. Like I said, they didn't find anything about the death penalty in there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He didn't stay in there very long, and nobody, like, got to him in prison, which I'm really surprised. He ended up having a heart attack at Rheinbach Prison near Bonn.
Not to say that it's my favorite thing about prison, but what I appreciate about prison is that nobody fucking stands for child abuse or murder or rape or anything like that.
Exactly. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Good. Good on you.
Yeah.
Punch him in the nuts.
Mm-hmm. So also kind of a side note here. This is a huge case in Germany and Poland. And of course, people are going to be curious. And also people are just fucking weird in general.
Like us.
Yeah. So in 1996, a group of art students decided to do a project on Joachim. Mm. They visited the crime scenes and took mementos to create a diorama. And they even took nude photos of themselves at the crime scene, posing as the victims.
Man.
That's too much.
That's such an artsy thing, though. I went to art college. That's such a thing that my cohorts would have done.
Really?
And I have definitely seen things like that. Mm-hmm.
I could not, one, like, for my own sanity.
Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine posing as one of the Mm-mm. victims, trying to, like, feel what they went through and Ugh. Then and taking pictures of it, like,
yeah.
having memories.
I don't think art should ever attempt to romanticize this type of thing, but I don't think, I mean, most of the art that's like this is not romanticizing it, at least. It's more trying to tell a story, unless it looks like they're having a goof time. Then it's like, guys, people fucking died.
Yeah, and they were doing this for a college, so I don't think they were trying to goof off. But it's still, I feel like, controversial because
I can't imagine why.
Well, if that were my daughter and someone was posing as my dead daughter, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, do you have any idea what she went through?
And
I don't think there was any harm in them doing it. I just, as a parent, would be fucking livid.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah. I can't. Mm-mm.
So, that's Joachim Kroll.
Yay. We're done.
Yay.
No more victims.
If you want to listen or watch more about Joachim, What Makes a Killer, their very first episode is actually on Joachim Kroll, and that's a pretty good one. You're the one that told me about that.
I'm the one that told you about that?
Yeah, you listen to Joachim Kroll on What Makes a Killer. You were the one that told me about the podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was me.
That was you.
My memory is... Yeah, I said this to Sophie the other day. My memory is a selective goldfish.
So... This is why I write scripts.
I had the door I propped the door myself because it's broken, and I left, and when I came back, I double-checked. I'm like, why is the door open? Oh, I did that. So, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Also, the Duisburg Cannibal from Dark Crimes Killers is on YouTube. And that was pretty good as well. But that definitely showed kind of a different take. Like I said, it was from the police officer's view. And they thought that he only had done 13 murders in that. It was weird. But it was still really good and something that people should, if they're interested in this, should watch.
Yeah.
Well, you can follow us on Facebook.
At High Times Dark Crimes.
You can chat with us on Twitter.
At htdc_podcast.
You can email us at
HighTimesDarkCrimes@gmail.com.
And like we said before, you can become a beloved patron and chat with us and get extra content.
At High Times Dark Crimes on Patreon. Thank you so much for listening. And as always,
goldfish talk.
I'm doing so well. Thank you guys so much for listening. And as always, like, share, subscribe. Word of mouth is the best way to advertise. So please tell your friends, tell your family if they're all into this, or don't.
Or just talk to us like human beings and tell us how we're doing.
Yeah, and how to improve, because we want to improve.
We definitely want to improve.
We're having so much fun.
Make me fucking famous.
And remember, don't stuff guts down your drains. If you do, at least have a garbage disposal.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Bye.